The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke. God be on my mind, my lips, and my heart. The angel Gabriel was sent from God to a town of Galilee called Nazareth to a virgin betrothed to a man named Joseph of the house of David. And the virgin's name was Mary. And coming to her, he said, "Hail, full of grace, the Lord is with you." But she was greatly troubled at what was said and pondered what sort of greeting this might be. And then the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. Behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall call him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High, and the Lord God will give him the throne of David his father, and he will rule over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end." But Mary said to the angel, "How can this be, since I have no relations with a man?" And the angel said to her in reply, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be called Holy, the Son of God. And behold, Elizabeth, your relative, has also conceived a son in her old age, and this is the sixth month for her who was called barren. For nothing will be impossible for God." Mary said, "Behold, I am the handmaid of the Lord. May it be done to me according to your word." Then the angel departed from her. The Gospel of the Lord. So we have a whole week that is 22 and a half hours long this year. The week started yesterday at 4:30 with the vigil mass, and it will end this afternoon at 3 with the celebration of Christmas Eve. So let's get on with this, shall we? Here's a three-sentence summary of the three main scripture passages we just heard. One sentence for each reading, taken in the chronological order of the events that they describe. First reading, David's plan to create a great temple is rejected by God, who makes it clear that his desired dwelling place on earth is amidst a people whose actions reveal divine justice, divine mercy, and love for humanity. In the gospel, Mary is listening with an open heart and a willingness to be changed by grace, and says yes to becoming the person of flesh and of faith, through whom divinity and humanity are brought together forever in Jesus. And then St. Paul proclaims that the life, ministry, teaching, passion, death, and resurrection of Jesus is God's ultimate self-revelation, and thereby creates a narrative capable of transforming anyone into a person capable of manifesting divine love in this world. That is who we are supposed to be. A couple things might be buried a little too deeply in Paul's letter that contemporary minds might miss them. First is that phrase, "the obedience of faith." Now, I'm an adult shaped by a culture that is arguably too materialistic, too individualistic. So I reflexively bristle whenever I'm called into obedience. But in my defense, for the last 800 years or so, that word obedience has been defined as subservient and docile. Our culture demands something very different from us, very different from subservience and docility. But in biblical language, obedience is really about listening carefully, listening with openness to what is being said, listening with a willingness to be changed by what we encounter. That's how Mary listened. Also, please notice that Mary is acting on her own here, without the supervision of a father or husband or brother. And this is completely counter to the culture she lives in. She's nothing in that culture. Not a wife yet, not a mother, more property than citizen. Notice also that it is God who makes this independent action possible, sending Gabriel directly to her. And so she acts out of faith. When told what God wants of her, she doesn't doubt. Listen carefully to the language of the reading. She does not doubt that it will happen. She just asks, how is it going to happen? From an open heart and a place of faith. This is the gift that we wait to celebrate, God's generous gift to dwell with his people, Emmanuel, God with us. And this dwelling is not confined to a tent or a temple, rather it is the indwelling Holy Spirit waiting to be freed in each one of us, and it is the Eucharist. Bread and wine become for us the body and blood of Christ, and meant to be taken into the body of each disciple, uniting us physically with one another through our unity with him. You know, a gift is not a gift unless two parties act. The act of giving is fruitless unless the recipient accepts the gift and opens it. In Samuel and in Luke, we hear God's promise of an unending divine kingdom. David proposed that it might dwell in a temple. God, through Mary, accomplishes it in human flesh, in Jesus. We cooperate in making this gift unending by passing it on by word and example to our children, our grandchildren, anyone with whom we have the opportunity. We prepare for this gift during this 22 and a half hour long week. When it shows up, please open it. Revel in it and pass it on.